This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92 on the game. John Fricke with you, 404-726-0929. Look, I'm not going to dispute if you want to be out there and be kind of like, you know, oh, whoa, you know, like, you know, Eeyore from the old cartoons. Oh, woe is us. That's fine. I get it. I mean, again, I don't have to go back over this with you. This is my 51st year of being a fan in Atlanta. I have three titles, okay? 51st, all right? 5-1, okay? But I've been there and done that. I'm with you, okay? So I don't blame you. But I think that you can make the argument, and I choose to make this argument, you know, driving the bandwagon and keeping the Kool-Aid, that if you look at the four major teams, there's a lot of reason to be positive about all of them. Now, I know the down-in-the-mouth thing for the Braves says, oh, my God, Profar's hurt. You know, now, you know, Sean Murray, oh, my God, here come the injuries again. The down-in-the-mouth thing about the Hawks is, you know, Jalen Johnson's hurt, and, you know, they don't have a you know, another big, and the front office will, you know, screw this up. Which, by the way, maybe they got it right. I'm just saying. Maybe they did. We don't have a draft pick, you know, or it's going to be the Lakers pick, which is going to be, like, the last pick in the first round. And then, of course, if you look at Atlanta United, you go, oh, man, that game yesterday. You know, they were supposed to be so explosive, and look at that, you know. So, again, there's reason to look down in the mouth. And, of course, 1,000 reasons to look down in the mouth about the Falcons, right? I mean, 1,000. But at the same time, I think with free agency opening up tomorrow, let's talk about all this. I think I look at the Falcons and think, look, if they could do this offseason right, why do you trust that they're going to do it right, John? Well, I mean, they've done some things right. Everybody thinks that everything that they've touched has gone wrong. That's not the case. They've done some things right. What's Terry Fontenot going to do? What's he done right? I don't know. He's used number one picks on superstar players that might take you offensively to new heights. There's that. Let's get your calls at 404-726-0929. So weigh in on any and all of this here. Breon is up with us. Hey, welcome to the show. You're on with John. Hey, Breon.
How you doing, man?
Good, man.
Long time listening, John. I really want to go in on some of the stuff, but I just got a sidebar because I called a long time ago, and then you always told me to call back. But I want a good – when you get a shot, I know you're busy with everything else, but when you get a chance, I want a good lock on your high school story, John, please. I've been waiting forever.
All right, I'll give you one. This isn't a good one, but I'll give you one. This is how – all right, I'm getting older, Breon. I went to the old high school downtown, which became a junior high. Is now, like, I don't know. It's some kind of – I don't even – it's some kind of – I don't know what it is. I don't want to say what
it is. It's a middle school now.
Yeah, I think it's actually – okay, maybe it's middle school. It's not a high school. Anyway, I went to the old one.
Yeah.
When I went there so long ago that if you were a senior, the way the high school was laid out, there was a courtyard between the two wings. If you were a senior, you could step out into the courtyard and smoke.
Yeah, That's definitely changed now.
And so they stood at the door, not to see if you were going to go out and smoke. They just wanted to make sure you were senior.
Hey, I appreciate it, John. But next thing, one more thing. Who's the first to go? John or head coach Raheem? If worst case scenario, we don't make the playoffs this year. That's my question. Well, I know you like to let us talk, so I'll keep listening.
Well, I mean, let's go positive here. I mean, yes, Terry Fontenot is on the clock. Raheem Morris is on the clock after last season. There's no question of that. Both of them are on the clock because if they don't get it done now, Mr. Blank is not going to – that's going to be it. You know, I'm sure that he's going to put his foot down. He's given them enough money. He's given them enough time. They've had enough chances here. My bigger question is, do you when you look at the Falcons, do you see them being able to create some room here in the offseason? All right, Breland, let's start with this. I believe that, as I went over with Joe, that Grady's going to he's got $16.2 million this year. It's the last year of his deal. That Grady's going to restructure to create some room for the Falcons so that he can retire as a Falcon. I think that David Onyemata is going to get cut. I think that, Caleb McGarry should restructure. I don't know if he will. He should. But he may not. I think Drew Dahlman is certainly gone. That makes Nuzeal your center at the moment. I think Simmons takes a lesser deal to come back. I think Judon wants to take a lesser deal to come back. And I think the Hawks start swinging in free agency tomorrow for one thing and one thing only, which is a veteran edge, not Trey Hendrickson, not, you know, a Myles Garrett. I think they're more into the Hassan Reddicks, another veteran edge, because they look at it this way, Breon. If we can get a veteran edge, you know, if you can get somebody, especially the caliber of a Khalil Mack or Hassan Reddick, to go and bring back Matthew Judon, to go with Braylon Trice and Arnold Abicady, you can say to all of us, rightfully so, we don't need to draft an edge. We can go draft a cornerback.
I think our fans need to get on the Braylon Trice bandwagon, too. We didn't get a chance to see him, but if you go look at that Washington tape, just calm down, folks. He's in the building, possibly, but just wait till he's healthy and gets there.
Yeah, it was a shame we didn't get to see him last year. And it's going to be really fascinating, too, Breon. How much of the lack of development of Brandon Dorlus and Rukororo was due to, because we don't know the answer to this, the fact that they're not as good as advertised, or maybe they just weren't coached well enough?
You think Ulbrich is going to get the best out of these guys?
Well, I mean, you traded up to get Aurora, right?
Definitely.
Well, there was a reason that do you think that Terry Fontenot is a pretty good talent evaluator? Because I do. I definitely do.
Going back to his New Orleans years and all the guys that they managed to get that nobody else was looking at all of a sudden. I definitely think he's good.
Yeah, so if he's a pretty good talent evaluator and he trades up to get Aurora, jumps to get Aurora in that second round where there's all these interior defensive linemen, isn't he saying, hey, you know, what's going on here? I mean, this guy could play. And there were some brief moments where we saw him make plays last year.
Definitely. It was a lot of flash. Maybe didn't come at the right times, but it was a lot of first quarter, second quarter flash for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you would see it, something. Oh, there's Rook. You know, I mean, he would suddenly find. Now, Dorlus, not so much, but Rook, you would. Oh, there's Rook. And, you know, we saw some flashes from JT Bertrand, you know, out there wearing the, you know, Spaceballs Guardian helmet. I mean, we saw some a little flashes of something, you know. And they said to us, that we value Braylon Trice on the same. In the third round. You know, it was like, okay, there's Jared Verse, there's Dallas Turner, there's Braylon Trice. He's in that group. And those, of course, you know how good Jared Verse was last year, and Dallas Turner, you know. So if their talent evaluation on Braylon Trice is first round tag, and if their talent evaluation on Rukororo is so high that they move up in the second round to get him, obviously these guys can play.
Definitely.
Maybe the previous staff just didn't know how to. Jimmy Lake didn't know how to use them. I don't know.
I'm sure with the look at Michael Penix, they got an extra look at Trice also. So I'm pretty confident that they knew what they got in Trice, regardless of pick or anything.
Yeah, me too, Breon. Appreciate it. Thanks much. That's Breon joining us here. 404-726-0929. I know that this flies in the face of some conventional wisdom of Falcons fans who hate the heck out of Terry Fontenot. I get it. But the fact of the matter remains, when he came here, when he was signed here from the Swamp, he was considered by his peers to be the best professional, okay, not college, professional player evaluator in the NFL. Professional player evaluator in the NFL. That was his calling card. And so everybody said, okay, well, you're good at the free agent thing, but how good are you at over here at the draft thing? And so in his drafting, what we've seen is, you know, first off, there were two things that happened with the Falcons. You know, there was a conscious decision to draft to the offense and go free agent on the defense because there was a belief that on the defensive side of the football, for the most part, that seasoned players, you know, played better. And so we're more immediate, let's put it this way, more immediate impact. And they needed some immediate impact, okay? And that you could kind of, you know, let speed happen on offense and it would take care of itself. So that was the, and not that they didn't draft defense, and eventually last year, of course, people forget they drafted heavily in the defensive side of the football. After the Penix, it was all defense. And so the fact is I think his talent evaluation has been actually pretty good, because if he valued Bijan Robinson as the second overall pick, where he took him was a great value, because look how good Bijan is. If he valued Michael Penix as being right on the same line as the number one pick in the NFL draft, and again, they never said it was, they said, hey, listen, we have him tied at the number one pick with this other quarterback. And I just personally, this, I have nothing to base this on, just personal guess here. And I mentioned it before, that wasn't Caleb Williams. I think it's Jaden Daniels. I think they said, that's just my guess. Okay, Penix and Daniels tied number one. Okay, number one pick, not just among, again, two different draft boards. One draft board says, you know, what your needs are and things of that nature. The other draft board is, we're going to rank everybody just one through however many, right? One through 500, and regardless of position. And so when he does that, he goes to regardless of position. Bijan is number two, forget about running back or need. You didn't need one. You had Tyler Algier. He's just the number two player overall. And then he goes to the board and says, all right, Michael Penix, you know, I don't need a quarterback. I got Kirk Cousins, but he's the number one player. You can't turn him down. So he's like, I'm taking the best player. And what does he have now? If you look at Penix and Bijan Robinson, are you not kind of looking at that going, that could be the best quarterback running back duo in the NFL? I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it could be. Not maybe next year, but maybe the year after. Could he have drafted the best quarterback running back duo in the NFL? Yeah, he could have. But you all want to get mad at him, you know? I mean, again, this is sort of like the Hawks. I got to give Landry Fields and Kyle Korver some credit here and their scouting staff, because they made some moves with Jalen Johnson and Zachary Risichet and trading for Dyson Daniels and drafting Okongwu that makes you look and go, you know what? You know, maybe these guys are actually halfway decent talent. And then they make the moves at the break. You know, oh, you got rid of DeAndre. Oh, Caris LeVert can play, can he? So, I mean, maybe you just give people a little bit of a chance. Like, I'm frustrated like you are with everything else, but I think these teams have now made moves. All the teams in Atlanta have made moves until Profar gets hurt. All the teams in Atlanta made moves that have been fairly positive, that have put their teams in position to be a winner. So I'm actually kind of excited about the future right now. 404-726-0929. But I could be wrong. And if I am wrong, that's fine. You can disagree with me. I'm not going to, you know, don't be disagreeable. You can say, you know, yeah, dude, Fontenot sucks. You don't know what you're talking about. That's fine. Just make the case on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The women Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's you and I have a chat like Breon and I did. Let's talk about, are you excited about the future of, you know, pick a team? Because I'm excited about the future, literally, of all four teams. I think all four teams have put themselves, look, the Braves are a, again, they're a massive World Series contender, and hopefully Profar's injury isn't much. Nothing's broken, that's good. We'll find out more today. You know, and Murphy is able to come back here in short order. I know. Maybe we're just getting him out of the way early. We still, thankfully, we still have, what, Noel, about 3 weeks to opening day? Yeah, so a little bit of time here. But you really want Profar to get into the groove here as he becomes your permanent left fielder. And I think there's reasons to be excited about Atlanta United. Other teams like last night, you know, Red Bulls are like, we don't want to play against Miggy and Latte Lath, and we're just going to – I mean, it makes for boring soccer, but they were so afraid that Atlanta United – see, what they're afraid of is United gets an early goal. Because if United gets an early goal, then you've got to start attacking. And the moment you start attacking, they're afraid of the Atlanta United counterattack, where suddenly they get an early goal, and the next thing you know, you're down 3-0, and the game's over. And that's what it used to be when Atlanta United was really good, is that they would try to get an early goal in the first 15 minutes and pretty much force you to play a more open game, which is what they want to play. And when they play an open game, yeah, it's not going to go well for you. At least that's the thought. The Hawks, I think there's a lot of reasons to believe that this young Hawk, and it's a very young Hawks team, has some up to it, that there's growth potential there, that they could be, maybe they finally, maybe the trick was, maybe, look, I like to admit when I'm wrong, okay? And so, Noel, maybe I was wrong, totally wrong about something that I harped on, and this is why I'm not a general manager, I'm just a guy with a microphone. Well, it's possible I was entirely wrong about the Atlanta Hawks, and I have to kind of publicly admit that.
Well, you wouldn't be the only one, or the first.
The way I framed it was, don't, and this is before the trade deadline and before Jalen's injury, don't blow the Trae Young years, go make the big trade now, right?
Yeah, but that's what they showed you at that time.
Right. Go make that big trade, go get the star player. You know, thank God no Embiid. Go get that, you know, Kevin Durant star player. Go get that other superstar that Trae can feed off of and, you know, and really compete. But, they didn't make that move. Of course, Jalen got hurt, and that kind of stalled everything anyway. And it was sort of like, you know, some people said it was convenient out. But I don't think they would have made the move anyway. Because I think they're kind of saying, you're not seeing what we're seeing. And I think what we're starting to see, or at least maybe just me and I'm slow to the draw, is that this team has some potential to be a team that can grow up together. All right, I'm going to give you a really bad analogy here. Noel, do you remember, and I know you do, and I know everybody in Atlanta who's been here for a minute or two does, the 60-win team, right? Damari and Tabo and Horford and Kyle Korver was on that team. Obviously, he was the sniper on that team. And so Kyle Korver being the sniper on that 60-win team is now the assistant general manager. And Kyle Korver says, look, that team didn't have any real all-stars. What it had was a collection of five guys that played together so well, and that team passed the ball, passed, P-A-S-S-E-D, better than any NBA team I've ever seen as a unit. I'm not talking about individual passers. As they passed that ball, it was like just absolute magic how they their ball, it was just their ball movement was unbelievably good. And I think Korver started to look at that and say, look, what if we go after that? What if we make it so that we have a team that just is a five-man unit? You know, you can win with two great stars. You can certainly win with the three, you know, which is kind of the NBA model. You have the three guys, right, you know. But maybe he says, maybe we make it a five thing. And – Now you start to see next year, oh, wait, Jalen gets back. If you can stay, you know, healthy, of course, that's true of any team at any time, okay? I mean, the Lakers are great right now with Luka and LeBron, and they have a chance to win the title if they stay healthy, okay? I mean, you can say that about anybody. But you put that five guys out there, and you're starting to see how they all get on the same page together, start working together, start, you know, it all kind of sinks. And then they become really difficult to play. And so I think Korver's looking at this and the influence that he has on Landry as, look at the tape from the 60-win team, Noel. That's the team that I think we have the ability to replicate. And if they do, that's going to bode very well for this team. I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun, right?
Right.
I think so. 404-726-0929. And I'm actually really excited about, look, the Braves can obviously win the World Series. I think Atlanta United is, I don't know how far they go, but I think they're back at least with, for the time being, it's only been three games, but I think they're back to where they're relevant again, and they're going to be fun to watch this year, okay? And the Hawks are, I think, growing into a version. I finally see if this was, and I'm just, again, spitballing here, but if Korver and Landry said, look, we want to rebuild that 60-win team, that's the model. All right, that's the base model. We're not going after a superstar because we're going after the five-guy thing. It's like five guys with lots of fries. And so they're throwing extra fries into the bag, and that's where Caris LeVert comes in. If that's the model of what they're going after, then I think they're well on their way to doing it. So I kind of go, oh, okay, actually, the biggest problem with the Hawks is that they don't talk to us. Okay, you know, how about you explain? I guess maybe I'm just too open. If I owned a team, I would be pretty transparent. Here's what we're trying to do, guys. Okay? And so I guess they don't want to tip their hand in deals and things of that nature. But, you know, you can do it in other ways. You can say, look, you know, we think we can build around Trey with these young players and have a pretty cohesive unit, and our goal is to have these five guys kind of all on the same page. And then, oh, okay, I got it now. You mean like the Tabo, because, you know, that 60-win team, you guys got to the Eastern Conference Finals and LeBron killed you. Well, that team was rolling along until a New York City police officer, NYPD, decided to take a baton and try and break Tabo Cefalosha's leg, right? I mean, right? Okay, everything was going well. And then, oh, let's break the leg, you know, of the Atlanta Hawk. So, I mean, yeah. But anyway, that's old history here. So the team, you know, is actually turning into a team in front of our eyes. They just beat Indiana. Indiana's a team that they have not been able to handle. That's just driven them nuts. And they beat them up in one game. Then Trey goes down, and Indiana has every chance to come roaring from behind, and they get Trey back in, and they stuff it to him again. So I think what you saw is like, I think Mike Conley put out a tweet. The Hawks are like the only team in the NBA or something. I don't want to put words into Mike's mouth, and I probably should bring the tweet up here. But they have like two wins against the Knicks, two wins against Milwaukee, two wins against Cleveland, two wins against Boston, two wins against Indiana. You know, I mean, it's like they have two wins against everybody above them, which says they can play with everybody above them. They've beaten everybody above them more than one time. And by the way, this version of the Hawks, even without Jalen Johnson, is right now because of the, you know, the fact that Zachary Risacher and Dyson Daniels are starting to grow up in front of our eyes, and for that matter, Okongwu, ever since he was inserted as a starter. This version of the Hawks, after that change to get Caris LeVert onto the bench, and Yang and Mann, and of course, Stuart Clint's out there, this is a pretty good version. It might be the best version this year, be better with Jalen, I get that. No, look, no, I'm not arguing that. But this is a pretty good version of the Hawks, and they're playing as well as they played all year. All right, let's go to Skip. Skip joins us this morning on the WaveFord.com hotline. Hey, Skip, welcome to the show.
What's going on, John? How you doing, John?
Good, man.
Hey, man, long time no hear. But John, I'm telling you, John, that you own to something, man. You own to something. You own to something, John. So my thing is, the Hawks really don't need to do nothing, man. The Hawks really don't need to do nothing in free agency because, like you've been saying, you got to realize these guys came from teams that they was buried on the bench. They never had a chance to show what they need to do. Now they're getting a chance, and it's like, I know them good teams saying, wow, we had a chance. We had players like that on the team. But, John, we just need to sign LeVert. I don't think we need a big fridge because J.J. is your number two. We got Dyson, and you still got Ricochet. And then if a Conway can do what he did last night, he's starting to come on. But if the Hawks do something in free agency, I say go out the center. Don't do no trade because if you trade somebody, you're going to trade away the bench. You got to realize also Fred is still injured and Larry Nance is still injured. When they come back, that's going to make the team even deeper than what they
that's
are
fair.
Now.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Yes, that's fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. And on the Falcons right quick, man, I'm with you. I think they need to if Grady want to do it, I just say re-sign Grady, man. And, John, if they got to do this, John, if you got to get Trey Hendricks in a trade, I say do it. Only I say do it because he is a difference maker on a defense. He make the other 10 players that much better on defense because he's gonna give you some. Go ahead, John.
You know, I'm gonna say I agree. I mean, he is a total difference maker. The cost to get him is, I think, too steep for this team right now.
I mean, yeah, but you're gonna give him first probably. I say you give a first this year, probably first next year, and another in 26.
Well, it's not only that, but there are two other costs here. The cost is, $30 million a year. The cost is also when you give him, 3 years and $90 million guaranteed or whatever he's going to get, which is about ballpark for him. I think they need to bring back some other guys. I'm in the ballpark that I think that they need to bring back Judon. I really do. And I think they need to bring back Simmons because it solves issues for them. I mean, don't get me wrong, Skip. I'd love to have Trey Hendrickson. But you'd have to give up so much to get him that I'm not sure that that's a wise move. They could. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could. I mean, $90 million guaranteed for a defensive edge, and then people are like, Falcons lucky, get injured. Oh, okay. But... All right, let's look at our edge position for a second, okay? Matthew Judon had 4 sacks in the last 2 games of his 5.5 because they opened it up for him a little bit. He was 5. Oh, there's 15. Okay, where's he been? And he's kind of like hinted on his socials, Skip, that he wants to be back with his team. I think if you were able to go out and get a Hassan Reddick for fairly, a lot less than Trey Hendrickson and just get a free agent where you don't have to give up any draft picks, don't have to trade for him.
But let me ask you this, John. Let me ask you this. Okay, now the owner. I can take Judon back. I can take Simmons back because they built something with it, a camaraderie with the team. But Hassan Reddick and some of the other guys, man, they kind of.
I'm just using him as a name.
I hear a lot of more people talking about Hassan Reddick and get the offense. Von Miller got released. Von Miller. I'm not big on Bosa. It was his brother. I'm just, these guys are so injured, and they really haven't. Khalil Mack is okay, but they still haven't shown me that double digit. They consistently show me double digit. That's why I like Henderson. Bring him back. Try to trade for him because it's a guaranteed double digit sack. You can draft somebody, but it's not guaranteed what you're gonna get.
Right. No, I agree, Skip. Thanks much. Yeah, I do appreciate it. I got to get to a break here. No, you can make the case for swinging for the fences with a guy like Hendrickson. But it's a big swing. And you have, I think, a defense that needs not a star edge guy. It does. I think this defense needs 5 new starters. 5. You take Trey Hendrickson, where are you getting the other 4 starters? Because you got no money. You'll spend everything you got, including your number one pick. You got no capital left to go get the other guys. That's the issue. It's a big swing, though, and you can make a case for it. All right, quick break as we continue live on Sports Radio 90 Time, the game with John Fricke on a Sunday morning. Old school classic song from the 70s, written by, and I've mentioned this before, but just kind of interesting, written by Bruce Springsteen, Manfred Mann's Earth Band. 16-year-old John was driving around in his Pinto. I had a Pinto, Noel, an exploding Pinto. Do you know what an exploding Pinto is?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Exploding Pintos were when Ford made Pintos, they were putting in like the back, I don't know, something in the trunk, and they put a bolt in that a bolt that was too long in the trunk that bolted up within a fraction of an inch of the gas tank. And so if you got hit from behind, the gas tank would go into the bolt and the car would explode. Well done. Good design. Yeah, really good.
Between that and the rollover escapes. Yeah, good job, Ford.
It was the Firestone. That was a Firestone thing, right?
Yeah, it was Firestone. It was the tires.
Yeah, it was the tires. And so they had to replace them all. And so they replaced all mine. And by the way, I'm a huge Firestone fan. I only use Firestone tires, always have. It was a thing with my dad. I've always used them my whole life. I am a Firestone. I am a loyal brand. All my cars have Firestones on them. I only use Firestones. But when they exploded, that was about 25 years ago, there was a thing where all of a sudden they had a run of tires that were exploding for some reason, and there were a lot of crashes. And so Firestone recalled all the tires and said, my Firestones were fine. They were probably had 30,000 miles on them. We'll give you 4 brand new tires. Just bring it in. But we're not going to put Firestones on them. We're going to put Bridgestones on them. Okay. Which is Firestone with a different name. It's the same. It's like, okay, sure. But they're brand new? Okay, I'll take the brand new tires. Give me 4. 404-726-0929, Sunday morning with John Fricke with you if you want to jump in here. Just thinking out loud here, free agency starts tomorrow. And what I think, I'm trying to just guess here as to what's going to happen here with free agency and in the short term with the Atlanta Falcons. So, again, I'm talking about, I think, how much fun the Hawks are, and I think I'm starting to see maybe where they're going with this. They're aiming more, and it makes sense in a lot of ways because, again, who's in the front office? That's why I keep bringing him up, Kyle Korver. And Kyle Korver, being the guy who was on that 60-win team, you know, being the sniper off that 60-win team, if we can't go out and get the superstar because, you know, it's just hard to do because, you know, teams don't trade superstars. They don't do that. It's not like, you know, teams would, you know, let LeBron James just leave Cleveland to go to Miami or leave Miami to go to Cleveland or leave Cleveland to go to the Lakers. That doesn't happen. And it's not like the Mavericks would ever trade Luka. I mean, stop it, especially not to the Lakers. Boy, can I just stop for a second? How unbelievably, oh my God, stupid does that now... It just keeps getting worse in the level of stupidity of that move.
We all thought it was dumb in real time, and now we're all just being vindicated that yes, it kind of was dumb.
Oh no, I think it's even worse.
Yeah, I agree.
Because not only did you make your team, I think it's a franchise destroying move.
It is. That's why we were all like, "Huh? Is this fake?" I mean, to move off the guy that everybody has already crowned and considered to be like the greatest of his generation or whatever, and to get back a broken down used car in return, a fading superstar, was wild to me.
Yeah, it's inexplicable. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So how do you build a winner if you want to build a winner around Trae Young? And it's patently obvious to those of us, even though it's not obvious to the rest of the NBA, that Trae Young is a superstar player. They don't even think he's an all-star. He's like an alternate, okay? Somebody gets injured, put the alternate in. Okay, whatever. I mean, the dude's a superstar, but you do you. But it's okay. How do we build around Trae if we cannot make that move and get somebody to do something really stupid like trade us, you know, Denver, hey, give us Jokic. You know, I mean, they're not going to happen, okay, right? So, but again, Dallas did what it did. So how do you actually make this work for Trey? Well, you make it work by putting complementary pieces around it. And Kyle Korver goes, well, what we really need is we need, you know, Tabo, again, go back to that team. Dabari Carroll, Tabo Show. What did Tabo do? Tabo played defense. He's Dyson Daniels, right? Okay? I mean, you're just, you've got, you know, Okongwu. He's kind of the Al Horford. You know, they're slightly different because that team, obviously, the 61 team didn't have a Trey. It had a Teague. It didn't have a Trey. But they're slightly different. But what we have now to do, what's the difference between that team now and with Jalen and this team? You know, the bench. But you went and moved to make the bench better by getting by trading DeAndre Hunter and Bogey. You actually improved the bench. Now you can, you know, you get some guys back. You mentioned earlier by, you know, Nance. I think that you're giving a tryout here to Muhammad Gay, and you know you can move on from Clint at the end of the year because he's out of, you just buy. And I think that if you're looking in the draft or maybe even into free agency, bringing another veteran into the bench, maybe even two veterans into the bench. You can go to kind of low-level guys, but guys that are going to be veteran presences off the bench and you know, especially at two spots. Point guard, maybe a real veteran backup point guard. Look, I like Kobe Bufkin, too. He's been injured again, but he's you know, forever injured. But, I mean, a real veteran, you know, point guard, you know, your version of Lou Williams, okay? And that was, you know, something that they had, that Trey had earlier in his career. And then you have, you know, another veteran big, you know, who can bang in the middle. Doesn't have to do much of anything. He just has to be a banger. We're not asking him to score. We're asking him to come in and play tough and, you know, be like a Solomon Hill. Okay? Again, from earlier in Trey's career. That's what you're asking for. And I think they're looking at it going, and Quinn Snyder's going, I can make this work. So I think they're a lot of fun. Now back to the Falcons. Here's my sense heading 24 hours to free agency. I think that great. This is me. I think. Okay, I'm spitballing, guessing, but this is my best guess. Grady redoes his deal and wants to retire a Falcon. He's got 1 year left, $16.2 million. He redoes his deal, spreads it out over 3 years, gets some money up front and a bonus, and lowers his cap number to create some room. And 97 retires as a Falcon. Onyemata gets cut. McGarry. Even though he doesn't want to, probably has to redo his deal and restructure. Dahlman is gone. He just can't afford him. Dahlman's going to get $12 million a year. He made one last year, $1 million. Now he's going to get 12. I think Simmons is back on a lesser deal. I think Judon wants to be back on a lesser deal, so much so that he'll come back on a lesser deal. I think they go into free agency with the intent of getting a veteran edge. They look at a veteran edge, and they say, if we bring Judon back and we get a veteran edge, we're not talking about the Hendricksons, Miles Garrett's of the world, but if we get a veteran edge at the right price, then we have Judon, we have the veteran edge, we have Braylon Trice, we have Arnold Ebiketie. And Jeff Olbrich goes, I can work with those four guys. So that allows me then to keep Grady Jarrett. I got to replace Onyemata either. And again, we can't know. There are a couple things we can't know. One of the things, well, there's a lot we can't know. Did they misuse Rukoruro last year? Okay, did they misuse him to the point where they didn't play him enough or they didn't coach him right? Or is he just not worthy of where they drafted him in terms of trading up to get him? I don't know the answer to that. I can't believe, but I don't want to believe that they missed that badly on him. That they missed so badly that they leapt in front of half a dozen interior defensive linemen and they went up in the draft and gave up capital to get him without him actually being a guy that could be pretty good. And Olbrich may come in there and go, well, I don't know what the hell they were doing with this guy last year because this guy can start for me. Or he comes in and goes, yeah, well, okay. We gotta get Grady's melt because Rook ain't a starter yet. I one of those two things is true. Okay? Problem is, I don't know which one. They need another linebacker. They let Landman go because Nate Landman, good a run guy as he is, Nate Landman can't cover you or me in the flat. I think he was dead last in the NFL in coverage. Dead last. People, Matthew Judon didn't do anything, John, the last four games of the year. Well, remember, they changed the defense because prior to that, Jimmy Lake was doing what with Matt Judon? He was always dropping him into coverage. Well, he didn't have any sacks. Yeah, because he's going backwards, guys. He's dropping into coverage. Now you got Troy Andersen, and who knows? You know, I mean, healthy, yeah, but we all understand that that is, you know, what the heck. They need another linebacker. They need another interior defensive lineman. Even getting an edge in free agency, they need another IDL, big guy, because either Rook is that guy or they just need another guy to help Rook and, you know, be that NASCAR line change thing out, or they really need a starter there to replace Onyemata. They need another linebacker, somebody can run. Ulbrich loved Deion Jones. He wanted that kind of guy. He wants basically a tweener guy between a safety and a linebacker who can cover people out of the flat. And so he's going to, let's see what they do there. So they need another linebacker. They obviously need another corner and a nickel. So even if you bring back, even if you go into free agency and get an interior defensive, well, I don't know if you do, but if you get an interior defensive lineman, if you get an edge, you still have four other guys you got to get. So you need a linebacker, a nickel, a corner. I mean, there's a lot to get to here on defense. And that's bringing Simmons and Judon back. See, this is why I'm telling you, I don't want Simmons, I don't want Judon. Well, if you don't bring him back, now you got six spots. Well, we'll just go out and get this guy and this guy and this guy. Really, what with what money? You know, you're going to have a finite amount of money, guys. You got to play in some ballpark here because you haven't been able to get this Kirk Cousins thing solved, and you're not going to be able to get the Kirk Cousins thing solved tomorrow. So let's see what happens today here. I would like them to go out and get a veteran edge and re-sign Judon to put him with Trice and with Ebiketie and to call the edge position for the time being good with Caden Ellis. Okay, we're good. Because that would free them up then at 15 to being able to trade down or 15, you know, to being able to take the top defensive back, Malachi Starks, Will Johnson, M.M. Worry, whoever they happen to really, the top DB in the draft. Because now you would have Bates and Simmons and A.J. Terrell and that other DB. Okay, we're starting to solve problems here. Let's start solving problems position by position in addition to the scheme that they want to play on defense. All right, that's all I'm asking. 404-726-0929. If you missed our conversation with our Falcons insider Joe Patrick that we had this morning, I'm going to bring that back and let you hear what Joe has to say about all this as we continue on a Sunday morning live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.